Thank you, Tyler, for doing that. Appreciate that. Thank you all for sharing. I enjoy that, to hear from you as well. And and I appreciate the heart that I heard coming from each of you. Chasten, you preached a sermon, and that was very meaningful. And James, you had a very solid revolution, and hopefully you'll stick to that. And I like to hear that. As Chasten said, what if we all were fully and totally committed to God? Well, don't we feel like we are? Don't you feel like, how do we know if we are or if we aren't? That's a question that I have as well. I want to be. That's my goal. And but sometimes I guess it's in we are on one hand, but when God brings something to us and asks us to do something we're not comfortable with, that's maybe out of the box for us, then we sort of put up a hand and a little bit like Peter and say, you know, wait a minute, Lord, you really mean that? Instead of just saying that once Peter fell on his face and saw who Jesus really was and said, whatever you say, God, I'll do that. That's the kind of heart that God wants his children to have. And I believe that we all want to do that. I believe sincerely that we are, that's our goal, that's our desire. But I also realize that sometimes because of our where we live, in the freedoms that we have and the pressures, a lack of some of the pressures that we have here in comparison to other parts of the world, it's easy to not sure what the right word is. It's easy to maybe make excuses and just rather than thinking and believing that I heard from God, it's like, well, probably I didn't. Probably it's just me or something else. And again, I was just reading of some of the incidences in other parts of the world, and one is Myanmar. I think it's a country. And where the oppression and there it's Buddhist, and severity of the tortures of the Christians. And we can pray for them that they would be faithful. Anyway, thank you for sharing and thank you for being here today. As we again reflect on, as Curtis said, you know, sometimes we say, and the Bible tells us we shouldn't look back. Jesus told, I forget in that account, but so much that he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back isn't worthy of the kingdom of God. But I think we need to look at that in the setting that he's speaking that. And I also believe it's good to reflect. It's good to look back. It's good to take inventory and to see where we've been, where we have failed, where we have grown, what God has done and accomplished through us, and so on, and then resolve to be able to hear better and to be more resilient when God speaks and willing to do what he wants us to do. You can turn for a little bit here. We'll turn to Matthew 16. And just a few verses there, 23 through 28, but I'm only going to talk over the first couple, I think it will, will be. And I've titled it Self-Denial and Cross-Bearing. And as I said, the theme this morning has been a little bit geared that direction somewhat, and so I will just continue on in that theme. I'm going to read the first three verses, or through 26, I guess it is. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As I looked at this, and I was reading this week, and came across in Luke the same parallel chapter, and talking about denying oneself. And so I thought, as a beginning of a new year, I'd like to look at it as you that have been in the north, you know what snow is. And I suppose all of us do. It has snowed here once in a while. And you wake up in the morning and it's a fresh blanket of snow out there and there's no tracks. There's nothing has marred that perfect covering that God has placed there for you to enjoy. Until somebody goes out there and you wake up, and especially the children, they get out and they run in the snow and they make all kinds of tracks. And pretty soon the snow's all messed up. And here in the south, before long, it's gone. And so I'd like to picture as starting this year as a new slate. We're only in 5 days into the year, into the decade. And if you messed up already, and it's okay, then God will forgive you. God will clean your slate up again, and you can go on. But if not, we have 360 days ahead of us to resolve, to do revolutions, as Tyler was saying. It's a new thought. So we have to process that and let it revolute a few times in our heads to understand what we're going to do with that. But it's a good idea. The resolutions, I saw in the paper this week a lot, they were interviewing people of what are your resolutions? What are you going to do different and so on? And one man said, I don't believe in resolutions because they don't work anyway. And so I thought, well, that's sort of where I am in a way. As far as just making resolution, I'm going to do this or do that. That's one thing. But it does take resolve. I'm a firm believer in that. As James said, resolve. I'm going to resolve to do whatever you decide you're going to do. Maybe that is a resolution, but anyway, with God's help, you can do that. So I want to look at this just a little bit. Jesus is talking here to Peter, and just prior to this, again, Jesus told the disciples that he's going to Jerusalem, and he's told them what's going to happen. He's going to be suffering at the hands of the scribes, the Pharisees, and he's going to be killed, and then he's going to be raised the third day. And Peter rebukes him. He says, no, Lord, you're not going. That's not going to happen. I'm going to see to it. I can just imagine Peter saying, not if I'm there, that won't happen. But Jesus then, notice he gave the answer he gave. He said, get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Again, Peter didn't understand. Peter didn't know what the plan of God was. And so he's trying to implement men's plan. And men's plans don't work with God's plans sometimes. Then Jesus goes into this. And he talks to the disciples and he says, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And so how do we do that? We've heard a lot about cross-bearing, self-denial, and so on. And there's a whole lot of host of things that probably you can do and you can think of that maybe you should deny yourself. And maybe you need to work on that. I don't know. I've listed a few just that came to my mind. And Jesus addresses some of these in probably all of them in one form or another in the scriptures, but some he does explicitly. Riches, material things, that's something we struggle with. That's something that, it's easy to focus on that and make that our goal. This is what we're doing every day. So we really don't have time for God's program. If you're there, then yeah, you need some self-denial there. You need to bring that under God's scrutiny and allow God to work in that. And God talks about that, also anxious care and worry. And he says in Matthew, he talks about, don't you know that the birds of the air, they don't worry about what they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. They don't, the flowers, they come up, they go, God takes care of them. You don't have to worry. I will take care of you. Selfish ambition. Again, something that I want to accomplish. Something that's more important than what God's program is. Sports, recreation. Those are only a few things. You can probably think of more. And probably some of these, not all of these probably affect all of us, but some of these probably affect some of us, at least. And maybe all of these affect some of you. I don't know. But those are just some things to work on or to keep in mind. So we think of the cross, the literal cross, the method of the Romans used to execute Jesus Christ, the most painful and degrading form of capital punishment in the ancient world. The cross became also the means by which Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. It also became a symbol for the sacrifice of self in discipleship. Romans 12:1. A very familiar verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then also for the death of self to the world. Mark 8:34. Jesus said, whosoever will come after